A surprise announcement from a top Democrat as Pete Buttigieg drops out of the presidential race just days before Super Tuesday.
I will no longer seek to be the 2020 Democratic nominee for president, but I will do everything in my power to ensure that we have a new Democratic president come January.
Plus, global investors prepare for another wild week as markets size up the impact of the coronavirus epidemic. And election-themed ice cream. It's one way businesses are cashing in on political fatigue in Israel as voters head to the polls for the third time in under a year. It's Monday, March 2nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. There are now two U.S. deaths related to the new coronavirus, with the number of infections growing, including new cases in New York, Florida, and Rhode Island. Health officials are investigating a cluster in Washington where the two deaths happened. Vice President Mike Pence, who's leading the Trump administration's response, says more testing kits are being produced and distributed in an effort to detect and contain infections. The number of deaths from the virus globally is around 3,000, mostly in China. North Korea fired two missiles Monday into the waters between South Korea and Japan. It's North Korea's first weapons test this year and comes amid a stall in diplomatic talks with the United States. Last week, Washington and Seoul delayed a scheduled joint military drill as the coronavirus outbreak continued to spread across South Korea. And we report exclusively that staff at American Express used questionable sales tactics with small businesses to boost card signups. More than a dozen current and former Amex employees say the company strong-armed business owners, misrepresented card rewards and fees, and checked credit reports without consent. An Amex spokesman says the company found a very small number of cases inconsistent with its sales practices, but addressed them promptly with customers and employees. Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, announced on Sunday that he's ending his presidential bid.
After a year of going everywhere, meeting everyone, defying every expectation, seeking every vote, the truth is that the path has narrowed to a close for our candidacy, if not for our cause.
Buttigieg rose from obscurity to a top contender for the Democratic nomination. But he had a poor showing in South Carolina's primary over the weekend. He finished fourth overall with the support of just 3% of black voters. National politics reporter Sabrina Siddiqui says the decision came as a shock to many.
At the end of the day, what his campaign realized was there is no plausible path to the nomination. Now, Pete Buttigieg is someone who defied all expectations, a little-known mayor from middle America, openly gay presidential candidate who effectively tied with Bernie Sanders in the Iowa caucuses and then came a very close second New Hampshire primary. Certainly people did not expect that he would see the level of success that he did, but then his path slowed down as he reached more diverse states such as Nevada and South Carolina. One of the biggest challenges for Buttigieg from the outset was that he lacked support from non-white voters. And I think the margin of Joe Biden's victory in the South Carolina primary really forced Pete Buttigieg to take a long, hard look at his campaign and see if there was a viable path forward.
Buttigieg was one of several candidates eager to be seen as the best alternative to Bernie Sanders.
One of the things that we've talked about a great deal in our reporting is whether or not the non-Bernie lane, and that includes former Vice President Joe Biden, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, if by all of them staying in the race, they were letting Bernie Sanders effectively run away with the nomination, because the non-Bernie candidates were effectively splintering the vote in these early state contests. And on a day like Super Tuesday, when you have more than a third of the Democratic primary electorate going to the polls with an enormous amount of delegates up for grabs, if you have those candidates whose name is not Bernie Sanders all divvying up the remaining delegates that Bernie does not win, then you're really not able to stop him from amassing an insurmountable lead.
The still crowded field of Democratic candidates could narrow even further this week.
There are calls for people like Amy Klobuchar and even Elizabeth Warren to maybe reevaluate, because they have not, of course, won a single early state contest either. But in this particular moment, it does seem that perhaps there is some hope among more establishment or centrist Democrats that with Buttigieg departing the race, it could become more of a contest between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, or between Bernie Sanders and perhaps Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, maybe Michael Bloomberg, who of course is a big unknown looming over Super Tuesday and this race more broadly. But again, it has a lot to do with Democrats trying to stop Bernie Sanders and understanding that the more candidates who remain in the race, the harder that task will be.
And a lot will be at stake on Tuesday.
One of the things that's important to remember about Super Tuesday is there is a very significant number of delegates up for grabs, and that includes voters going to the polls in two of the most delegate-rich states, California and Texas. Bernie Sanders has the lead over his rivals in California. He is also at the top of the polls in Texas. And so because there are still several alternatives, what they might end up doing is barring one another from reaching viability in some of these states. You have to reach a 15% threshold in order to secure delegates. It's very possible that in some of the 14 states that head to the polls on Tuesday, those candidates would be shut out of delegates because voters don't have any one alternative choice whom they can throw their support behind.
That's Wall Street Journal national politics reporter Sabrina Siddiqui reporting from Washington. Now on to markets. Investors are bracing for more turbulence as global markets react to the coronavirus epidemic. Last week, the S&P 500 had its steepest weekly decline since the financial crisis. Meanwhile, Chinese manufacturing data hit record lows, though stocks largely rose in Asia today. Markets reporter Joe Wallace has more on what investors will be looking at this week.
So all eyes are on central banks. Shares are up in Europe and Asia, and futures point to a bit of a recovery on Wall Street later today. And that's really because investors think central banks, led by the Federal Reserve, will lower interest rates and take other steps to try and ease any economic or market disruption caused by the coronavirus. The Bank of Japan and Bank of England have made similar comments to those of Fed Chair Jerome Powell over the past few days. And while investors don't think that lower interest rates will actually address the cause of any economic downturn, which is the effect that the virus has had on supply chains and production, they do think that they could stop that kind of crisis from morphing into a broader slowdown in economic demand. And lower rates also are likely to encourage investors to buy riskier assets such as stocks and corporate bonds.
Finally, businesses in Israel are trying to tap into voter frustration as Israelis head to the polls for the third time in under a year. Again, former military chief Benny Gantz will try to unseat Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Companies are trying to turn the widespread electoral frustration into a selling opportunity. Ben & Jerry's Israel is offering an election-themed flavor, as well as a Facebook forum where users can vent over politics. Sellers of everything from trash cans to mobile phones have marketing pitches targeting fed-up voters. And that's what's news for this Monday morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.